Can I call order the Monroe Public Schools Board of Education work session for Tuesday, June 24th, 2025. The time is 5:30. Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Heck.
Here.
Mr. Jenkins.
Here.
Mrs. Myers.
Here.
Mr. Sabadini.
Here.
Mrs. Vincent.
Here.
Mrs. Williams.
Here.
Can we please stand for the pledge? This direction.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before I turn it over to Superintendent Shaw, I just want to remind everybody to be your discussion adult professional on topic comments. And in the board meeting, once the vote has taken place, the discussion is over, and the board will move on in a unified matter, no matter how you vote, for or against the motion. In mind, as we go forward, Superintendent Shaw?
So tonight, you can see Cassie's not with us. Cassie had a medical situation on Sunday, and so she'll be back with us tomorrow, and, but... you guys give me right here. So fortunately, we had all this stuff a couple weeks ago. She should be okay through all this stuff, but stuff going on right there. She could be with us tonight. So I'm going to go over the 24-25, our current year budget. So this is the final budget for the board. Remember that this budget now will go into being audited. And that audit will come out, the audit will begin, actually begin somewhat tomorrow in internal accounts, and then use in September that go back in front to present the results of the audit. The audit always comes in on the financial side higher than what you see, what we see here. So we're going to dive into it. So you do have this in your set of materials there. So the general fund, you can see that we're going to end this year. I'll show it was at $10.7 million, and that 7.3 or another 4% fund balance. Know that with this budget and even the next budget that's being presented, that Cassie projected that we do not need to borrow. We still, and this goes back to past practice, that you would see that our budgets generally always run more lean right here, because the auditing rules, you cannot go one penny over on a line item. And so this, when all of it's shored up, you'll see that number right up. Now the $3.4 million, we're expecting, projected up $7 million. So that'll be more, approximately about 8.5% fund balance right there. But the numbers come in. What you see. This fund, beginning balance of $4.3 million, revenue of $4.5 million, expenses of $6.1 million. So we're ending with a $2.8 million fund balance. We have to keep bringing this fund balance down. Okay, and so there's been a plan on doing that. And so that fund balance is coming back, is down. I wish I could tell you that where it needs to hover. My guess is it has to be less than $1 million in there. And so it's getting closer, but it's just it'll take time. Always, when it comes to the itself, like the quality of the food products, yes, it's we had shared before that changed the
condition of meat.
Those would be questions. It probably was. I know we've made some of our large capital purchases, but we have large capital purchases. All this down. So the amount of, so how we, quality of food, it's a high quality of food right there. It's just that, fortunately for us right now, we're getting, it's not costing as much.
Right.
And so we're trying to grow. We wish we were growing by balance because it's,
you know, they always say, yep. What are we giving back to the kids, yep, before we buy equipment?
So the kids, I can say this, kids don't pay unless they go out there.
Well, I mean,
yeah. Yep. And so, last Wednesday, we served 1,000 students over at Raisinville, jammed up Raisinville Road. I was really hoping for 141 then, I was ready because, like, for just not even a full hour, you know, we had lots of cars into on the property to try and get them through, but, you know, there's a 7,000 meals served, and so it was good stuff, but I was waiting for a complaint or two, and I know there are a couple out there on it.
And I'm not aware, so do we provide food every day from?
So at Raisinville, it's a 7 day that the kids get, okay, and that's why there's 1,000 students handed. Now, in our other locations here inside the city, that can't, unless someone else in this room knows that answer.
I'm pretty sure that's a daily or certain days, yeah.
We're serving meals daily at the Tot Lots and Buffalo City Parks. Those started yesterday.
Okay.
Last week we started serving meals at 5 buildings at Rock County Community College. So I think that one runs Monday to Friday, and the parks are Monday to Thursday. But just to actually clarify that, the meal bundles are actually breakfast and lunch, so it's actually considered to be 14,000 meals instead of 7,000. But they're giving them some stuff that's prepped and some stuff that's, like, fresh. So they got, some of them got some produce and stuff last week mixed in and a loaf of bread. Like, so they didn't have to, like, necessarily. There's some certain rules that follow that. So
we'll do that until when?
Every Thursday till August 7th.
Yeah. And then, so if you drive by the Reasonable Elementary, you're going to see two trailers in the park. That is for keeping everything cold. Hot days, so this Thursday they'll be out there doing all over again. So you'll see all those empty milk cartons or cases out there. Student School and Activity Fund. This is a fund right there that gets used with the different clubs, the NHS. Everyone puts money in there, and then this comes out. We have to put this into our county, and so it's really. Cassie, you know, put in there beginning fund balance. That's just a projection of what would come in based off of history, because you don't know, it could be a huge fundraiser, it could be something small, but that's we have to account for that here.
Different
activities. Oh, yeah.
I remember when she gave us a lot.
I think there's more.
Rather than that,
yeah. There's a lot. And so, yes. And then the school bond, and so that is our bond debt. We're getting fund balance of $2.3 million, revenue of $3.3 million, expenditures, so ending with a $2 million fund balance. The sinking fund began the year with a $4.6 million fund balance, revenue of $2.4 million, expenses of $3.2. So still ending this year at 3.8. That one will be an interesting one, simply because, again, you had to build protections in there. And so some things, but you can't carry, so for example, if only 50% of the project was done here by June 30th, well, that's all we're going to build for. And so that's why that number right there will actually grow also. And then building a site, that one is always an interesting one. That's one where we've had people doing donations. They annually, there's two people that always give money. It goes towards the pool. So we have 53.
That is cool.
It's all the money, basically. Yes. And then the bond and capital project. So the bond and capital project is the bond monies that are in the account. Okay. So it's paying for the Raisinville and the Custer project, or not Custer, I'm sorry, Orchard projects, those are the ones that are going on right now. Waterloo is wrapping itself up, so there's not a lot of cost coming out of there. And so we're down to $3.4 million left of the bond. And so as the summer finishes up, next summer, the only last project that we have to do is out at Manor.
Is it at all allocated back?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That,
I mean, that's just what's sitting there, but those are all these spent monies.
Yes. Yep. So, yeah. So, When we get to, and next year at this time, it'll show so much money left in there, but it's more that the bond projects, there will be no money left in there. Most likely we'll have to use the same fund money to offset the cost of, yeah, next year or pinch up man. When it's all said and done. So those are at a high level, and then what Cassie does is reminds us too that on the next page, the foundation allowance was $9,608 per student. Remember that was the same amount of money they gave us a year prior. And so where we saw the increase in revenue was actually a decrease in expenditures for the unemployment, not sorry, unemployment, but our retirement rates. So that's how the state figured out how to give us money last year. But I share this because at $9,600, is the factor and moving ahead in our future budgets. Because when you have a zero 1 year there, you don't see that compounding. So we're going to feel that pain, for you. Our fall student count was 4,369 students. We did levy our 18 mills for non-homestead and 6 mills for commercial property. All contract obligations were put in here. You see basic retirement rate is 31.36, and then for 10-month employees, and so she can't say that. Now, understand, she's giving you an average rate there of unemployment, of the retirement. So 3 or 4 different retirement rates that she has to calculate, so it's a hard job in her office. And then she shows on here, and this was really a big item for all of the employees, because you saw a 0.2% increase on the hard cap for insurance. So in the 24 year, you can see that the district got a hook for $7,700 for a single person, and it went up a solid $16 for 25. Okay. So that meant all that increase ended up back on to the employees. And that's one of the reasons why we made the switch from Mesa over to Capital Blue Cross Blue Shield directly, because we were able to drive down how much money had to come out of the employees' pockets. And so they still got Blue Cross product, and we actually had some plans that went below the cap on the HSAs. So,
what was the FTE decrease?
That was about the budget generally at 150 student loss.
Right.
This last year we ended up with about 80 students.
That was it.
80 students.
So that's the lowest we've seen in a while.
That was, and that's why I've said very long that this fall's count. Is really a vital count to see, okay, are we going to stay hovering right at that 300 student population? And what happens at Monroe High School? Because Monroe High School took a big, had a nice jump last year in population. What was the general surprise when we started looking at the numbers? I mean, they grew like by about 120 students roughly. And so that was a general surprise. So, do we see that again? Or do we fall back into seeing that? So, and that's just a past history of what we always have been budgeting for is 150. See something in that ballpark right there? We can't pick zero and going higher and just drive through crazy. So that's where we've been trying to live.
The foundation money anticipated to be like 98. Because I was looking at the paperwork from the budget.
300 more.
I thought it was a considerable amount.
We were expecting from all three.
Yeah, they took it away and gave it to.
We were fully expecting a $300 per pupil increase last year, along with retirement rates to be decreased, and all we got was a retirement rate decreased. And so that's why, when we put last year's
budget. That was a big significant change.
When we put last year's budget together, we thought we were going to see, so she put a $200 per pupil increase and we saw zero. So that's part of it there.
Wasn't there talk about them giving us $400 more this year for
pupils? We're going to get there in a second.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
My jumping in.
That's the talk.
That's what I said.
That is
the talk.
Okay. A lot of talk. So budget revenue and expenses for the general fund. So right here for our final budget, so we had it from February 25th to today. Our local revenue resource Revenue went up $60,000. State revenues went up $1.4 million. I'll get into some descriptions of what happened and why that happened right there. Federal also increased by $150,000, and then transfers went up $112,000. So we saw an increase of 2.4%. With that, though, a lot of these were just ins and outs, and that's what you're going to see on the next couple of pages. So the household change, 6.1%. Direct support services increased 3.7%, and other went up 4.65%. An average of 3.71.
There's a big number difference, like $10 million difference from the previous.
Are you looking at
the proposed?
Yeah, that's why. But the proposed, there is some.
Like that's a big difference in something happening.
Yeah. So I know that's why it's hard to go back and look at what was the proposed budget. The budget revisions matter so much because that's where you see the shifts. That's where you get your exactly the number of students you have coming in the door.
Yeah.
That's you're gonna know the foundation amount that the state is giving. You know that okay.
31 days. How well did we project? And what happened and what we're in.
Yeah. And in some ways, and please take this from our anyway, it's all on how well your black crystal ball worked to that day.
Yeah, that's what I said. Really,
there's some things that there's no, I mean, it is literally which target you want to shoot at, and are we going to use that one? Because if you're listening to Lansing right now, there is so many different variables out there. It's like, and that's what a lot of schools, and that's why we said before when we did that budget presentation a week ago, is that we just knew that we have to reduce our expenditures by $2 to $2.5 million to try and protect ourselves moving ahead. So on this next screen, you're going to see revenue increases. So the screen shows an offsetting expense. So foundation allowance, again, I don't have all the answers right here. I can't give you how we grew our foundation by $300,000. There might be a spot on the next page right here, but the grant was, we have a person through the high school. What's her name?
Bella Hutchison. She's part of the last night partners with Vicki Loveland.
Yep. So that's just an in and out. The MEPSFRS, that's all the retirement. So you can see just over $1 million came in for retirement. Benchmark assessment grant, that's an in and out. Transportation cost, that's just an offsetting. We actually ended up with $19,000 more than we projected. Title I Regional Assistance Grant, and the Title I Regional Assistance Grant is because of Monroe of Orchard and the middle school and Custer, or is it just those two? So remember how they're on the list?
Okay.
So that's the money that
helps.
Yeah, in Custer. That's money that help with PD and other projects that we do to move up. Well, for $120,000, it gives us resources to coach up people. So so for once, if we had a list, doesn't hurt. Yeah.
We'll skip that.
Yeah. Well, it'd be one thing to be on a list and not be given any resources to fix the list.
Yeah.
So that's how we're looking at it. Technology millage grew by $25,000 in the sale of our parcel on there. Now, with the sale, so she has it on here. We know that we're not going to, and she had, when she put this all together, she didn't know where we're going to close, and it's on here. The sale of Navarre, that we, in July, and so that bill actually end up be coming off of here. Okay, so we'll be reflected in this year's budget. We'll be able to see it in your budget revision.
This is end of work. Spectacles in the general pump and effects.
Yep. That's a general fund. Exactly. Decreases, enrollment stabilization, we saw a decrease there. Natural fish and wildlife, $40,000 decrease in revenue, and that's out at Canabush. That was part of a grant that they had out there. Title III, we saw that budget go down, and then $36,000 less for.
Do you have a list of what grants are
holding?
Yeah.
So many of our grants don't end. The biggest one that we saw come to an end was a year ago, and this is why I wish Cass was here. And that had to do with, I think it was the nurses, if I remember right. There's something that was, the school was able to add back right before COVID happened. And so you could add in there, then transitioned it down for you to take it over. So that was really the only grant that we saw end. The Fish and Wildlife grant, that was beautification and adding, which at our Monday meeting here in out there, and Nicole will tell you all about general fund expenses. And so again, the green is just offsets. So you saw it come in, you saw it go out. Okay, so City of Monroe grant, income assessments, those are all. And then what we did is listed the larger items right there. So we're the high school gymnasium. The curtains at the high school, those are being done. Services. I don't know if they're hung yet, but I know that they're supposed to be done.
There, you can know that right there.
The auditorium yet this summer.
Oh. Or, yeah.
Why were you asking Andy the curtains?
The curtains in the high school.
They're done, except for there's two small pieces that they had to order that didn't get shipped.
I was just going to ask.
So the main curtains, yeah, they look really good. There's two, like, middle curtains. I don't know what they call them. They're small pieces that didn't come with the main order that he ordered them right away. So they should be in soon.
Do they close?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Any holes in them? No holes in
them. No tripping hazards?
No, no. Well, they got enough of stuff to make, yeah. That's all.
The SLP services. So we do have to provide speech and language services, and if we don't have people, we have to contract outside. And so that's why that cost is.
We contract the IST.
No, this is
outside
of that, because if they can't find staff, which there's times when they can't even get staff, then we get it. Now,
that's probably not.
Not for speech and language. Not for speech and language. Graduation Alliance, and then dual. Now, again, we offset those with revenues because, like, the Graduation Alliance kids come in.
Cost us zero.
It costs us zero, so it's.
And we gain about 20% of the FTE. So that's money going out for them, but I am the employee for Graduation Alliance.
I was gonna say that's a program where people continue.
So we've had a couple. You'll see in board briefs. Graduation Alliance is a third party virtual learning program. Some schools it's their only virtual option. Here it's unique because while we have Orchard, while we have the Learning Bank, while we have Monroe Virtual, this allows students who are 15 to 22 to earn their high school diploma, essentially from Orchard. We don't allow students into this program because we lose so much of the FTE. We wait until they've aged out, you know, they're 18, 19, 20 years old. We've seen a lot of students that have fallen off the map during COVID come back.
We've had how many students?
I can give you a roll up in board briefs. There's roughly 23, 24 that are currently in it.
I know it's like zero.
Yeah, and we're set to have, I think, maybe two or three more graduates by the end of the year. Oh, so it's a good thing.
Especially when we hired David 2 years ago, that was honestly the very first task he was given is to work with Graduation Alliance and go to work on finding those kids that were sitting out there, because at the end of the day, they're still on our books for graduation rates. And so that ends up being part of 5 or 6 year cohorts. And so these are kids that for some reason they don't want to go to into the Learning Bank. And so it's just another option. And again, we end up on, when we look at the FTE and we retain kind of a, it doesn't cost us money and we can get these kids a diploma. So it's a nice little option right there.
And that's the difference, too, is that they earn their high school diploma rather than their GED. So.
And you're the only one that
I don't do anything but find students and approve students. Quick.
Oh,
okay,
really?
Good. Yeah, so it's free money, and it helps the community. And we even have an out-of-district program. We're not poaching from within the county, but there are other places across the state. If they hear about Graduation Alliance, they can enter in this distance. I mean, they don't set foot in our buildings. They can't participate in athletics. They don't go to prom. They're not really our students other than they're connected through a third party. So,
and they don't hurt our graduation rates either.
So, I don't know. We don't need to discipline them.
We
don't
can't
discipline
lose
them.
At
we don't
all
do anything. So,
when it is. So yes.
Do you enroll them? Is that strict college? Or
no, that can be any.
Okay.
Yeah. There's an allotment, allotment of money that each credit, a lot of paper, each credit. And if it goes above that amount, then the parents pick up that cost.
This is just an increase on top.
Correct. No. An expense increase. So she was projecting it to be $120,000 less than that. And so we have a more case take for the enrollment. Increase that. Decreases, which we like to always see a decrease. But it's sad because we're expecting to see the YLIF grant, you know, be $40,000 more. Well, we had to decrease that expenditure. Our Title III Limited English grant went down by $30,000 for expenses. The UAL, and that's retirement, went down. Telephone and internet expenses, which that's a nice one to see go down $90,000. And security services for community ed, that decreased. And the security services, that's really when we have community ed events going on, for example, at Custer or any of our buildings, we have to put someone in there that's security-wise. So that way they take care of the doors, they monitor to make sure that the kids are not running around the building. And we were able to decrease that. So any questions on the current year budget? So like I said, literally tomorrow, they begin the audit. They begin doing the audit on that money that's just the internal money, like the student counts, okay? That's where they start there. July 1, she rolls over and closes the current year, rolls into the new year, and then the audit commits. And then you'll see us come in, present the audit to you in September. So here are the current assumptions that we're going to be able to levy the full 18 mils on non-homestead and non-qualified agricultural property, and 6 mils levied on commercial. Sinking fund is still a 1 mil sinking fund, and that was approved last May, so there's 4 more years left on that item. And then the bond debt is 1.5 mils.
That's
I want to say it is. I want to say it. I think we did. I think we did a 25. I think the that bond was a 25-year bond. It was a 25-year bond.
If people
have to. And we suspect that we're going to be out of that money next year.
So that money is all allocated,
yeah.
And we can publicize all the projects that got done, and that this is. Where it all went.
Gotcha.
Well, here's the summary of all funds. I told you last week it was going to be bad. So remember this, at the beginning fund balance, she has to use a beginning fund balance of $3.4 million because that's what our current ending fund balance is. We fully believe that when it's all said and done, we've seen this every year, is that that balance should have been more of that $7 million number. And so, what that would show then is that we would be projecting, and so we're cutting down our expenditures. If we see the revenues come in like we're also kind of hoping for, we're going to see that all shift. And that's been our goal, and that's why we reduced expenditures there. So I did call Cassie today reluctantly. I wanted to find out how she was doing with two confirm for it. She doesn't, she's still like, Andy, we're not going to have to borrow money. So that's the whole thing. At the end of the day, we don't have to borrow to make payroll in September.
So how we get that?
Okay. Again, these are pretty. So
because I'm looking at the other years, and they're like 6%, 8%, 5%.
So when you go back to
now we're down to 2.3.
You go back to those other years, you had ESSER funds in there.
I understand that.
This number right here reflects an unaudited number. And so when we get to November, December, when we do the first budget revision, you'll now have an audited number. So imagine looking at it like this. That number sits at more $7 million here. We're going to spend $2 million. You would have seen that at $5 million, not $1.5 million. Okay.
audit's not done, that's my point.
So you say when the audit's done.
When the audit's done, we're expecting that this number in the audit will be more at the $7 million number. Because that's zeroing out every single line item on our expense sheet, zero out every single staff member. And
but this is
that
the
growth.
Proposal for the next
for this
year.
Next year.
Right. So why wouldn't we set the proposal at
because
you
we
have
can't,
to use that number?
We have to use that number. Okay. But that's why you go through a budget revision, because then in this, November, December, you'll know the amount would increase with our audit amount.
And we have to use that because that was our ending balance.
Ending balance. Yes. That's why you use that.
Billion loan. I think we're just saying we won't have to borrow. It's a big deal.
Magic number.
It is.
That's our magic number. That's our 10% magic number.
It's standard.
And you're saying that that word should be.
We're projecting that that number right here should be approximately $7 million, correct? Which
but we're talking about the ending funding fund balance should be at $7 million, not the beginning fund balance. The end should end at $7
million. The audit, that might help you. That we want to always try to keep our audited because the audit is actually what would tell you at that very moment in time in our account is that amount of money. Okay? It's not, and I shouldn't even say it like that, but it's not real. So it's, but it's at that very moment when they do the audit. If everything stopped, that's how much money you have, okay? And so that's why right now, until that, we close the year, all expenses have come in, and because we'll still have expenses for current year coming in July, and we'll get those all allocated.
We should typically set at $10 million, not $7 million, right?
Well, but that $10 million number, remember, as we were showing you last week, was a number that was also inflated due to ESSER. Okay, so the ESSER money sat in the fund balance. So we spent those.
We couldn't have that. Not the ESSER money. We couldn't keep the ESSER money.
Right.
But we didn't have to reduce the general fund further.
But the ESSER funds were in it, so if you sent the ESSER funds down, that was going to lower your general fund balance. Because you can't, you know, that $10 million, if $3 million of it's ESSER, you spend out your $3 million of ESSER funds, you're automatically going to get $7 million, unless you figure out how to grow your fund balance on your general fund.
Or decrease your expenses.
Yes.
Which we were supposed to pull $2 million.
Right. But that's what I'm going back to the week ago. When we're looking at that line graph, it showed how the ESSER funds moved us up and that we had gotten ourselves to a spot where it was literally what it looked like pre-COVID, the numbers. And that we showed how that we could see that. From last year to this year, $2.5 million roughly was what was spent. We knew where the ESSER funds sat. And that's why we worked to reduce, through staffing, that $2 million, $25 million. Well, had we not reduced the staff, you would have seen that amount of expenses be quite a bit higher. I know we can't give that number because that's cash, but I know that. And we knew that that staff that reduced it would be it actually be about $2 million higher. Yeah.
With the staff that was removed, terminated or whatever, and all the resignations and retirements, you're talking that is the total that got us $2 million?
Nope. So your total at $2 million would be the people that have resigned and the ones that we knew we didn't have to replace. That gets us there. The variables that happen is this. So, we hire Mary back here. What step do we have to hire you back at?
16.
Yep. So, we have to hire her back at the highest one. We're going
to
hire
her. 16 is the highest.
Well, I'm not sure if it is.
I don't know.
We got a step system, but she's a veteran teacher. We've got people on our payroll tonight, they're going to be approved tonight, that are coming at step one. Okay. Cassie doesn't know. Okay, and so when she creates that budget, that's why it's a first blush. Like, okay, I can't put everybody at step one because we know we're not going to hire everybody at step one. So she kind of just goes, okay, what's that number going to be at? And so she'll keep an average going. When we get into that budget revision, we're going to have a better feel of like, okay, we were able to hire this many people starting at step one. So it is actually one for one in that budget. It's not feeling lovely either.
Everybody, say you hire experienced teacher who has never been in the Monroe system and still started step one?
So that's where we really work hard to negotiate. Okay. Because you take a veteran teacher that has 10, 15 years in, we look at what schedule they might have been on, ours. We go, all right, our salary schedule and what you're being paid from four is step five. We can offer you step five.
Aren't a lot of people coming in now, new teachers?
Many of them.
Right.
Yep. We have been able to hire, though.
That we were sitting in how much new staff before.
Yeah, yeah.
So what is the percentage of new staff turnover that we have in these buildings?
I can tell you.
We probably should pay attention to those numbers because that was before.
But even on some of our new staff that we're hiring.
Yeah. Saying they need to be trained. They got to give them a couple years to get used to teaching.
We've got two clients coming in.
15.
Three or four.
Yeah.
Well,
so
my
he has 15 years experience.
Yeah, Terry Griffin's son-in-law had 15 years teaching experience.
We have,
so.
I know,
about Harry
we
from
the
ship
building.
Yeah. Yeah.
We
have
don't
a flat,
have
we have
so
a flat rock.
But that's where,
we're a flat rock.
And that's what will happen when it's all said and done. We get through this. Cause, I mean, there's a lot of people that have left our system, so now we'll hire them. We'll be able to give you an average number of years of experience.
Do we know what led to that?
If you look at the resumes in the package, you'll see.
Do we know what led to that plethora of resignations?
Well, somebody's retired, so that's just not my retire. Oh, no, no. Oh, I mean, the ones that retired, most of them had all retired.
There's others that left.
That buying years stuff died out. Like when I came in as a teacher, so that you really don't see that anymore. What is it? When teachers could buy years, that pretty much ended in like the early 2000s.
So people retiring at 19, 20, 27 years, is that considered full retirement?
No,
so it's in years until someone else.
People bought years back when you came in.
Yeah. It was a great deal.
It was not a great deal when we came out.
Because you did it right after you hired.
Yeah.
Or you could do it like I did, pay 25 grand. Which didn't do me good because I'm still on. Yeah, that's how much retirement
is.
$50 a check.
It looks like some retirement
assumptions.
But know that at 2.3%, that is where they find. Again, our goal is that our revenues are at least $1 greater at the end of next year than it is a pension. That's what our goal is. And so that means through the year, we can reduce it. We want to keep at that $7 million. Our pledge is.
Well, for the beginning,
well, which
audit.
Is the same as the
audit. Audit. And the audited,
yeah.
Audited fund balance. That's what matters, is what your audited number is.
The time to panic, correct me if I'm wrong, is come November.
So
if that line if it says 3.4 million, if it's not 7 million,
right.
Then we got a problem.
Yeah.
Well, that number is true right at 7 million, but if that, but you're right. When if that audit number keeps going down, that's we have to be able to answer that.
Right.
But that's
we don't
why
we
have deductions.
No.
The question is at what point when it goes down, do we have to borrow money?
Yeah. So.
Or
yeah,
if we look at our expenditures and start looking at where we can.
Well, that's what we already, that's what I said, we already started doing that with the reduction of.
I think there's a couple.
Well, there's always, unfortunately, I mean, we started out with at this first level, there's a level B and C, and that, well, we have to go there and you go there. And so, but, you know, that is all yet, hopefully it's not yet to come.
Well, I see the big risk is still, you know, you're budgeting $400 increase per student.
Yes.
And if the state comes back and gives us less, then
that's where we start.
Is that $400 I've talked about? That is in this?
Yes, it is. Yeah. We're going to get that next stage. Yeah. Service. We have, so she had to put together a spend down plan. Okay. So some of that's in the approval tonight. We have some cafeteria or commons work we want to do at Monroe High School. That's part of that plan. So we're finally getting that number down to where it needs to be. So that's part of the spend down plan. So you've seen this one before. She always just puts in the $500,000 because that's just keeps it safe. The bond, so you can see what she's expecting to have here. Sinking fund,
the same fund. We don't have expenditures in there, but she's still projecting us to have a $3 million fund balance.
What's the bond debt?
So the bond debt payment is 3.4 million. Which, and if you went back to your other one, she'll actually be able to show you exactly what that number is. So yeah, that's what we're collecting. That number right there. And then you can see that we're that this will show that this money right now from what we're planning, this number when we come back in the fall, then we should have, I would say, by that, yeah, we will by November, December, we should already have quotes in for Manor or already out the bid, so we should have a pretty good idea of where this one will land.
Wasn't there money, and I'm not real versed on this, money that is somewhere sitting that can be drawn on, that is where we... Yeah.
Yes. So that's this money right here. So this money, so it's all in account. I can't tell you where.
But there's an account.
Yep.
That
so we're getting
we lost this. Money on because someone.
We haven't lost money. That's
not
a mess.
This year, maybe. But
at the very beginning, when you bought the bonds, it did show a loss. But if you go back and look at them in totality now, that you will see that we lost near $1 million of revenue on interest.
Yeah, over the 5 years.
Over that time, correct.
That's where we're drawing from?
It's whatever account it's in there. Because
so where's the bond debt revenue coming from?
So that revenue is part of that interest.
So it's the interest generated off the bond.
Okay. Yes, yeah. So whatever account we have it in there is gaining interest.
But as we pay that down, all that interest will be less.
Yeah. It's invested. And so but she has...
like getting school bonds.
Yeah. Right. Cassie, that's one of those things where she can talk more about it. And actually, we'll actually speak highly about this in July. We'll have Carrie Blanchett here. She'll talk about how that money's invested there. So, yes, to answer your question, budget assumptions this year is $400 per student increase. Again, there is risk, but each area, and this is what we talk about, the only difference this year is this. There's zero conversations about using retirement monies, and that was so that the retirement shift is due to the fully funding of the health care of retirement. But that was fully funded, that's when they stopped fully funding it or stopped sending more money to it. So that's how they're able to buy down the percentage for schools. So that's over with. Now every group has said this is what they would like to see the schools get. So the only thing we have sitting out there is the House put out their budget, and there's a lot of other variances inside of their budget. It's a very rich budget for the schools. And so if we even got if something like the House is presenting, you'll see us, it'll really shift our budget.
So right now we're sitting at like 14,000 approximately per student. So this is 10,000 plus. Not on this. Not on this. What the additional monies that we get per pupils. Remember we're the highest per pupil. All right, I'll look at us next time I'll answer.
So all right. So when you
know I'm talking about are you coming in special ed? No.
Are you talking like? Are you looking at everything about like through the My School data site?
Yeah.
Of what we pay,
for student, the money that we have per student, not what we spend, it's what we have per student.
So what you're talking about then is when you roll in.
Because we're the highest around.
Well, yeah, remember that we're the largest and you have the largest demographic, so you're going to see that because of your title funds, your 31A money.
So my question then relates to that number.
Mm-hmm.
So as this goes up, is there an anticipation that the numbers are going to go higher on campus?
So what I will say is this. This number goes up, we are going to still be very cautious on our expenses, okay, and when it comes to the additional staff. As this number moves, all this is doing is handling our inflation. Like when I did our budget presentation with our staff, I think we had that pegged up. We needed really do the student declining enrollment. We needed more about $600 per pupil to meet
all of our obligations.
So you intend on, if this comes in, to increase staffing?
No, because if you go back one screen, right here, this revenue represents a $400 per pupil increase. So we're already showing you're going to have to use fund balance potentially next year. And even if that comes in and our expenses stay below that number or right there, our goal is to add at least $1 to fund balance next year, simply because we've been taking and depleting the fund balance over the last couple of years. So we have to get to that spot.
So if we don't get this $400 per pupil, we're all going to be back in this room again reevaluating this budget, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll be talking about what is our next phase of stuff we have to do.
Okay.
That's how that will. Yeah. The other big variable for us is we always budget 150 student loss. Now, here again, like this last year, we saw more of about a 70 student loss, and so it ended up only being, with an 80 student loss, so we're plus 70 students. That is wonderful. So if we see that kind of becomes that double win for us, and so that will be that's a variable there. The only thing that the state does do for us is that we do get a portion of money for declining enrollment, and that's allocated to all schools. It's not one for one. It's about roughly about 3 cents on the dollar right there. So assumptions that are into all of that is the current salaries, the contract obligations that are currently in place, how much reconfiguration, the custodial department reconfiguration.
So the expenses for the reconfiguration staffing changes?
So what it reflects is just that it shows where everyone is at. So it wasn't, because when we get into that one.
Is this considered expensive?
It is. When you get into that, what was the commitment in the boardroom? No staff on carts, right?
Well, it was also no staffing increases that we anticipated.
The general education classroom, class sizes, we're adhering to, so that number of sections at fifth grade is 11, sixth grade is 11, the kindergarten is roughly 20-ish. And so, but when we look at the configuration where the additional revenue or expenditure is, in either not having teachers on a cart. So that may mean then that you had to hire another teacher. So that's where that would land there. So, that's what about how much of reconfiguration.
Since I'm blind on this, the custodial department reconfiguration.
So,
what precipitated that?
Are we tape recording?
We are recording.
Okay. It was a shitty cleaning. Okay. And so, I'm sorry.
No, it was.
We had to make some adjustments. It was the lack of our company and the number of staff that we could get in for us. And so.
Two.
Three. That's right.
Yeah, three are your contract.
Yep. So we said, all right, we need to look at how we do cleaning of our buildings differently. And so between David, Tim, and I, we did a plan to where we brought in the leadership in-house, still hiring the cleaners themselves through a third party, through EduStaff. Hire them all directly. The benefit package is too much. But by doing that, we're seeing this right now as it's a part of it at the very beginning, but we really anticipate that this area will be one that we're going to be able to bring down those numbers once it all gets fully built. We staff a little heavy right here in the summer, simply because we have the summer clean, the summer moves. we talked about it today, Sherry had to terminate two people. And so we have that moving, so we had to staff a little heavier because at the end of the day, the end of August will show up and these buildings have to be clean.
So what is the additional expense? Because I know we went through these numbers.
So this one right here, when it comes to the custodial department, that I would have to, I don't have it in front of to know this, so I'm going to just put a number on which already makes Cassie cringe. It might be $100,000.
Yeah, there's technically, if on paper, we're going to save money.
Yeah.
But the difference would be it's virtual. So, for instance, our HES contract is $1.8 million. Well, it was the end of their contract. If we wanted, well, it was $1.5 when we started. Then each year there was like a 3% increase. I think last February, we asked for an increase to move them from $14.50 to $15 an hour, add another trainer, like minimal. But it ended at 1.8. But if we were going to extend that contract, they wanted 2.2 million, 2.25 million. So what we were trying to do is saying, okay, for 2.2 million, what could we do? So that's why it's technically increasing the budget, but we're going to try to increase it less.
You came in at 2 million.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to sit around.
Yeah, not 2.2.
We are, but that's what they want us to pay if we can.
Yeah. So how many leaders did you actually need?
So we have one supervisor, custodial supervisor. We budget for 1 to 2 assistant supervisors, and then we have team leads. But so far it's been very effective, and we're doing pretty good on the cleaning. But again, part of the problem is when you neglect something for so long. It's like if you clean your basement every summer, it's not hard. But if you clean it every 5 years, and that's what we're finding, it's going to take a little time to get us back to maintenance.
But that's – so they're uncovered, and they're doing a phenomenal job. I mean, they're at the middle school, and they're literally talking about we made the bathrooms a priority, and so I literally enter a power washer, and they talk about that. So these bathrooms are in a lot better shape. But even in the fashions, the walls and like coffee or pop or stuff being spilled on them, so they're back, they're scrubbing. And what was interesting is Jackie, who's our leader, she talked about my glove approach.
Yeah.
And so she's coaching up people. So that's an area that we know is going to continue to shift. Now we're going to get to a budgetary item where she's just getting involved with it. We're not talking only about staff. We're talking about equipment. We're talking about materials. And that she's going to be controlling. So inventory, so a lot of stuff. So
and it's a reciprocal, not to interrupt any, but if we have weekend events, you have to clean those events. If you have evening events during the week, depends on the events, too, how much of that custodial or security
costs. The problem comes in when we're renting out the facility. So if we're renting out the facility and we're renting it out for $30 a classroom, but we have to pay custodial $100 to come in and clean it, we're actually costing ourselves more.
Yep.
So where's the calculations in those rental?
I was more referring to sports, but yes, like the Riverside. That was I don't know what numbers.
Starwood South getting ready to do a summer community program.
Starwood North?
No. Nope.
Wait.
The BBS North is the tiny building.
Is it the BBS
South? South would be the building that's under.
I'm not. What program? I'm not.
Cracking
the, I just.
I think on the side.
I do know they got a grant program this week, but and then
it's
summer
not a
school.
Grant program. It's a BBS program that they're utilizing
North.
The facility.
Ladies,
it has to be North because the 5-6 is going to be fine.
Yeah.
So, is that on the weekend?
I just found out.
So they do rent it, and there is last time with the community, again, we're back to when we went over the numbers in regards to the expenses for the rental fees, we lose every night. Okay.
But we're losing custodial on top of it.
But that's part of the whole expense. I say we lose. But that's part of also, though, if we said, okay, we're not going to rent our building to keep people off of our grounds. Now
I'm not suggesting that. I'm just suggesting that there is a cost now associated with that is going to have to come out of the $2 million.
No, but that's all
because the $2 million, basically,
no,
you get $2 million.
That's already a part of the cost that we've been watching.
Sometimes they do. It depends too on the we're doing things differently. So when I started, I would remember we would rent on a Sunday for a church at our cantrip at the time, and the custodian would really just stand there and wait. If there was a problem, if not, they would leave. What we do is you work on Saturday. Priority is the event, but here's 5 projects we got to work on. There's 2 stains. So we're trying to make it more efficient time. So what we do, instead of paying overtime, Jackie's come up with a nice system of a 4-day rotation. So we have a Sunday through Wednesday, Thursday through. So that way, it's not overtime. People that like that 4-day shift, we still have coverage on the weekends. So we can make it a little more efficient and save some money.
So we did. I shouldn't say that. I cannot honestly answer the question if she put in a percentage increase on there or not. And
see what that is.
Can we address the additional expenses on your maintenance staff? Do we have the numbers on where you're at now? I just found the numbers the other day.
Maintenance staff.
The other day. I'll find it, but it was the amount of custodial staff that was being used, and it was like 6 and 7. So how many do you have now? It seems like we're hiring a lot to maintenance.
Well, we had, well, we're at custodial, we had, there was probably 50.
No, I'm talking about maintenance.
Maintenance.
That's not included in here, and maintenance staff is...
We're still technically minus maintenance staff. We have one person that resigned. We haven't replaced. We're currently hiring. And one person's on medical. So we're technically down two. Now, depending on when we hire for the day shift is a different program, but.
Is it on a note? I just found things on a bright green sticky note. Here it is. General maintenance. There were contracted 6 and there was still 7. It was up 2. And then custodial, ATS, and MP, there was 43.5 ATS and 4 MPF. So where are we at with general maintenance now?
Just what I said. We're down one person on medical, and Paris resigned.
So all these new hires are just...
These are summer help, and then depending on anybody that shows that we want to keep with the new plan this fall, we may retain a few of them.
So how many positions are there approved for your department?
Where we have, technically, we have to fill one position for sure.
So I'm sitting at 13, which was up from 11 when this note was written. Well, so you have 13 positions.
Well,
we know there's only so many positions.
Yes. We haven't went over the allotted board approved positions. We just haven't filled them. I would have to count them in my head quick. We have seven skilled trades.
We have 7 skilled.
One person was terminated, so we have a boiler operator to hire. But we're going to wait till Larry starts and we hire them in June or July.
So you're sitting at 6 and 6 because it was 6 and 7, which was up 2.
Yeah, but Paris resigned. We have not replaced that. And so Curtis is on medical.
This is 13, and you are minus 2 right now. So you only have 11 staff.
I can send you a complete list of our staffing offhand.
Only when I found this note, I remember it was a big conversation we had because there was a talk about increased maintenance staff, and that's why I was surprised I didn't see that on here.
Yeah, we've been under budget for maintenance for years.
So what are the amount of positions that are approved for them, and then what do you have built right now?
I will send you all those details.
Where are the new positions
coming in? Yeah. So we have a budget here that we have to get into. But part of the, I'll just help you there. When it comes to the cleaning plan, it's actually looking at the number of staff in both areas and the budget on both areas to reduce it there. And so it's back to like we're describing. These buildings, when I say like this, we use Manor as a quick example. We'll have a maintenance custodian. Right now you see our maintenance staff driving the vehicle, right? And going to do stuff. So what will happen though is you take, for example, I am the maintenance custodian at Manor. I start in the morning, I'm there the whole day. Okay? So that is our other custodial cleaning, because I'm also doing the training.
Yeah, this is
probably
where I'm at. Because you know, once this is approved, you can't go over the next
day. That's going to be a little later now.
It's quick. No, it's quick. I can go to
the next one. Yeah, bang.
Okay. I'm assuming there's no public comment there?
No.
Okay. Motion to adjourn.
So you didn't make a good headway today?
Go ahead.